May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 491. Pleased we read in sacred story how our Lord resumed his breath. Where's, O grave, thy conquering glory? Where's thy sting, thou phantom death? Soon thy jaws, restrained from chewing, must disgorge their ransom prey. Man first gave thee power to ruin, man too takes that power away. Hymn 491.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God. Let us read this evening in the Gospel of Luke, reading part of chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and we'll read the first 34 verses. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May the Lord bless unto us each the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us now to pray. O thou almighty, eternal and holy Lord God, what are we that thou shouldst be mindful of us, even at this evening hour in this earthly place? But Lord, we pray, thou wilt look in mercy and pity upon us, and make this earthly place a sacred place, a place where thy presence is known and felt. Collectively in our midst this night, in our worship, Oh, may there be a sweet savour of thy presence. And within each of our individual hearts, Lord, that we may be separated from all things that would hinder us in falling at thy feet. Be separated from that, Lord, which hardens our heart. But Lord, may we know the gift, the precious gift of thy Holy Spirit, to draw us now humbly to thy feet. For Lord, that's where we need to be now, as guilty sinners. Lord, our own hearts do not teach us what is our sin. And we may have to seek and search to know what our sins have been this day. But Lord, thou knowest. Thy word says we are all as an unclean thing. Our righteousnesses before thee are as filthy rags. Sin is mixed with all we do. And that which is not of faith is sin. O Lord, we come this night guilty, very guilty before thee. But we come pleading that precious name and that sin-atoning blood of thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have nothing else to plead. Lord, do look upon us this night through him, through the merits of his saving grace. And oh, may we know some refreshings within of the power of that blood that blots out all transgressions, that remembers our sins no more, that loves us freely. Lord, we would be lost in wonder, love and praise this night for thy great mercies, even toward poor sinners such as we. So, Lord, may there be profit to our souls as we are gathered together here this night beneath thy holy word of truth. We've read, Lord, a portion of thy word. That is the purest part of our worship here this night. We've read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, give us those hearts prepared to receive it. Lord, give us Lydia's heart, which thou didst open, and she received of the truth. Lord, may each one of us know those moments rich in blessing, which before thy cross is spent. Lord, to receive tokens of thy heavenly grace, tokens of thy love. Speak to us, Lord, through thy word, and oh, to receive it deep within our heart, that we be counted amongst those sinners that are saved by grace. O Lord, how vital is this need. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt hear every petition put up to thee this night, even now, that such mercy may be known in those hearts. We read of one, Lord, who came into the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, if one has come into this place this night with the same petition on their heart, Lord, do hear and answer the sinner's cry. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon this place here, this place of worship. Lord, those here now, there, our best friends, our kindred dwell. Oh, may here, Lord, thou our God, our Saviour reign. Bless, Lord, thy people here. Be merciful and gracious to them, young and old. Lord, may they know what it is to go away at the end of the time of worship, saying it has been good. We've been up to the house of the Lord. He blessed me there. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon thy people here. Remember, Lord, our friends that hold office here. Oh, Lord, do help and guide and direct them in all things, bestowing upon them all needed wisdom, all needed grace. And, Lord, do hear and answer their petition. And each one of the church members also, those who've testified, Lord, of thy mercy toward them. Those, Lord, that were constrained by thy love to tell to others around, sinners around, what a dear Saviour they have found. O, ever grant that unity of thy spirit and the bond of thy peace. Lord, may it prevail here. And that there be those, Lord, like those of old, who spake often one to another of the things, Lord, they have handled, tasted and felt of thy great goodness and mercy toward them, and that continually. So, Lord, do abide here. Lord, supply the needs of thy people here. Grant the blessings of thy word of truth. Lord, that those thy servants engage to preach here, we ask thy blessing upon the preached word, that there may be that message, Lord, given unto those that proclaim it. Be messengers in thy message, with a thus saith the Lord. And Lord, so may there be prosperity. Lord, who bless the congregation, remember each one of them. Lord, thou knowest the hearts of each one. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt have dealings with each one. To come, Lord, in the power of thy redeeming love. Lord, to send thy Spirit to convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. O Lord, what grace and mercy thou hast yet to give. For it's Jesus Christ, thou the same yesterday, even today, and even forever. So, Lord, may that work of thy grace be known here, continually, amongst young and old. And if it could be thy will, Lord, grant thy people here a settled ministry. One, Lord, whom thou shalt appoint. One whom thou shalt choose. One whom thou shalt send. One whom thou shalt constrain. That all to be done in accordance with thy sovereign will and thy sovereign purpose. The feeding of needy souls with the bread of heaven. And the bringing forth, Lord, of those that are bound in sin. The gospel being not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. O Lord, perform thy work in these evil dark days in which thou hast appointed us to live. And not only here, Lord, but elsewhere. Throughout this land and throughout the world. Lord, may there be many that hear the joyful sound and walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. We pray for others, Lord, not here tonight, who would be here if they could. Those, Lord, who perhaps away at this time of year are on holiday. Watch over them and keep them safe in thy loving care. Lord, others that may be detained for other reasons. Some may be, Lord, in duty, responsibility. Some may be unwell. Lord, remember them where they are. And may they know thy gracious presence there. Remember the little children, the babes. Oh, Lord, do have mercy upon them. And may they grow underneath thy loving tender care, kept safe from the power of evil, from Satan, kept safe from harms and dangers, to grow in health and strength, their faculties, Lord, to develop. And they grow, Lord, to know and love thy truth, to become true followers of thee. And the young people likewise, Lord, do draw to thine own self. Draw away from the love of this wicked world. Draw to that love that never fails. That love of thine to a needy soul. And may they know what it is to cast their all upon thee, trusting in thee as their soul's salvation. And provide for them, Lord, in the needful things of this life. Help them at this time, Lord, when many have had examination results. And Lord, there's new prospects for many in higher education or in occupation. Oh Lord, do lead and guide them in the way that they shall go. And may they know, Lord, the privilege and power of prayer to commit their way unto thee. Lord, that is our petition for ourselves, whatever our walk is of life, our circumstances. Oh, we thank thee for the throne of grace. Lord, here to pour out our needs before thee, for thou shalt be inquired of by thy people to do it for them. Lord, help us ever to walk humbly before thee, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, casting all our care upon thee, for thou doth care for us. O Lord, why me, why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Lord, may that be the portion for the good of each of our souls, our total dependence upon thee fixed. So, Lord, we lay all matters before thee. Go before us in this life, and may our end be everlasting peace. Lord, do turn our government from the error of their ways. Lord, put upon them that wisdom that begins in thy tender fear, and overturn the desires of the ungodly. Lord, those that desire to bring more secularism and atheism and false faiths to prevail in this our land. O Lord, we earnestly cry unto thee that thou wilt defend us from the foe. And maintain to us our Protestant liberties. Lord, for ourselves, for our children and the children's children. Lord, still make this a nation whose God is the Lord. In thy wrath, Lord, remember mercy. And as now we turn to thy word this night, Lord, do apply it in the power of thy Spirit. May the words of these lips and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 464. Oh, for an overcoming faith, to cheer my dying hours, to triumph o'er the monster death and all his frightful powers. Hymn 464.
complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may speak to us through the precious word we have before us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter which we read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This 34th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Dear friends, this portion we read tonight are the words of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the ever-living God. They are words of truth. They speak and teach the truth. And they speak of how we should be in our conduct here upon this earth. How we need to take heed to the word of God. No matter what our age, whether we are young in years or well advanced in years, we shall ever have a need to take heed to the word of God. In this portion, there's such a simplicity, isn't there? A simplicity in the teaching through the lips of the Lord Jesus. And in dear friends, in coming to preach from it, I fear to take away the beauty of the simplicity that it contains. That's why we need the Lord himself to speak, not my words alone to be heard, but the Lord speaking in power unto our never dying soul. Now this verse we have quoted as a text, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It seems such an obvious expression, doesn't it? For we know that what is a treasure, or precious, or of value, then our hearts embrace it and desire to cleave unto it and to keep it. All of us have treasure, don't we, in an earthly sense. The Greek word can also be translated that which is of value, whether it be monetary, whether it be in the form of people, our loved ones, family, friends, whether it be our skills, our ability, our achievements, our business. We all have some form of treasure, something we value, something we would hate to lose. And our heart is bound up in it. We seek to keep it and enhance it and promote it. Dear friends, that's our heart by nature. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But the Lord Jesus on another occasion said this: "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That applies to man and woman, doesn't it? Our hearts going after that which is so beneficial for us in our earthly existence. That which we believe will give us peace, prosperity, and remove our fears, believing we can hope and trust in that for our comfort, our happiness. I don't think any of us are an exception to it, are we? And now our hearts, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, will cause us to cleave to it that it's the most important thing in our lives. Dear friends, there we are by nature, and particularly perhaps in our younger days. You young people, you have your heart's desires, don't you? You have those things which are precious to you here upon this earth, and perhaps those which you long to develop and increase. Perhaps it's your career, perhaps it's a friendship, perhaps it's some achievement you want to attain to. Our hearts, they drive us, don't they, with those things in view. But how solemn is that teaching? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose, or as the Greek word also means, destroy completely, his own soul? The Lord Jesus gave this parable in the portion we read, didn't he? Concerning one whose land brought forth plentifully. You see, there was one who came unto Jesus and said, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." He was praying to the Lord Jesus for an earthly benefit, which would be for the good of his own earthly self. Now, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to do that. Yes, we read the Lord knows what we have need of. He's a gracious God. But the purpose of Christ's coming was not to give us all the earthly benefits. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks how, I think it's to Timothy, how having food and clothing, let us be content. Dear friends, if that's all we had tonight here, was just our food and our clothing, would we be content? How easily we look for other things. Lust within us, covetousness. The Lord Jesus says here, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And if we feel we are being defrauded, here was the case of one who'd received something, no doubt, from the death of perhaps a father or a relative, and he felt he was being unjustly dealt with. All the anger, all the disappointment, all the earthly spirit, all that what rises up, bitterness, endeavouring to put things right to the satisfaction of his own pride and heart. Dear friends, We're not strangers to that, are we? Jesus says, take heed. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He was already rich. Dear friends, there's nothing wrong in riches. There's nothing wrong in great possessions, but the love of them is where the sin is. When it becomes our treasure and we set our heart upon them, the scripture says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. They're vain. We brought nothing into this world. We shall carry nothing out. And all the solemn teaching here in this parable of this one who suddenly came into greater riches. He did not know what to do with them all. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, that's what our hearts by nature seek after, isn't it? A secured comfort, prosperity in earthly things. He said, this will I do. God said, thou fool. Oh, this man's breath was in the hand of God. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. You won't enjoy any of those things which are now before your eyes, which you're now trusting and hoping in for your comfort and prosperity. You will see them no more. You will be taken from them. And oh, the solemn end of that soul. Lost, ruined in a solemn eternity. Dear friends, we've sung two very solemn hymns tonight, haven't we? Concerning death. Those who die without any knowledge of the redeeming love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Their treasure was all here upon this earth. Whether in possessions or in their own goodness, like the Pharisee who trusted in himself. What solemn end. I suppose like that other parable Jesus told of the rich man at the time of the poor man Lazarus, the beggar. That rich man fared sumptuously every day. And dear friends, he lived content without the mercy of God. And the time came when he passed from time into eternity. The Lord Jesus spoke of his torment. Lifting up his eyes, oh, that mysterious thing, to see Abraham, to see Lazarus, sorry, in Abraham's bosom. Desiring that a drop of water be put upon his tongue to satisfy his thirst. That would be a mercy, but there's a great gulf fixed that one cannot pass from one to the other. Oh, how final, dear friends, is that judgment in the time of our death. There's no passing from one to the other. There shall be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Do you say, well, this isn't me? I don't look upon riches like that. But, dear friends, what do you look upon? One of those most solemn characters, I believe, in Scripture is Demas. We read of Demas in the letters of the Apostle Paul, who was with Paul as Paul went about preaching to the Gentiles. And how Paul includes him in those that sent their greetings to the churches. Seemingly a faithful follower and believer in the faith. And yet, in Paul's last epistle, he writes to Timothy, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. It wasn't easy, was it, to be with the Apostle Paul in prison, being threatened there in Rome with a solemn death before him, judgment at the hands of Nero. Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. He loved his own earthly life upon this earth more than anything else. Dear friends, that's ourselves, isn't it, by nature? The love of this world, we don't want to be separated from it. There's so much here to live in and enjoy and continue in as long as we possibly can. It reminds me of the parable of the sower, where the word did have an effect. And there's that which did spring up and grow. But when the sun shone, the heat of trouble and of persecution, it withered away because it had no root. That root couldn't be seen, could it? It was hidden out of the sight physically. There was no deep root in the love of Christ. Oh, dear friends, what are you rooted in tonight? Are you still rooted in the things that are of the flesh, that are of your carnal self, and of the vanities of this life, even though you may openly profess to be and seem to be amongst a true believers? How searching these things are for us. My mind also goes to the church of Laodicea. They were a prosperous church, physically, in earthly material things. The people of that church lived in Laodicea, a crossroads of two trade routes. They bred sheep which had a very fine wool and was used for the most expensive garments. They even minted their own money. They had their own banking system. And dear friends, even the church there said, we're rich, in need of nothing. In need of nothing. Given over to the materialism of life. In comfort, in peace, in safety, doing well. What a parallel there is there, isn't there, to today. In the day the Lord has appointed us to live. Materialism. Technology. Wealth. Achievements. Our needs. More than our inessential needs. Free, so wondrously supplied. Abundantly supplied. And how perhaps we rest day by day. And night by night. In the perceived comfort and security of those things which provide for us day by day and help us day by day. Now, dear friends, those things, when they prevailed in that church at Laodicea, it affected their faith. They said, we are rich. In need of nothing. Therefore, our poor must have been their prayers. How poor must have been their worship as they came just openly, physically, in an outward profession, but content in their own hearts, just materially, in their manner of life. Dear friends, how easy we can be like that today. We can even thank God for his providential gifts to us. And we should thank God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. The things we have through our work, through our labours. Oh, Ecclesiastes, in everything give thanks. But dear friends, is that all we have? Is that all we've got? Do we rest upon those that it's an evidence of the Lord's mercy to our never dying soul? Oh, how easily we can be deceived. That's a lovely portion, although it is very solemn, in Revelation concerning Laodicea. The Lord said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Oh, they were rich and knew not their poverty spiritually. They were clothed well and knew not their nakedness on account of their filthy rags of sin. Yes, they also had an ointment which was called eye salve, which was the benefit of the seeing of the eyes. And they knew not that they were blind concerning their spiritual state. They were in nature's darkness. Oh, dear friends, how low we can come, can't we? Even though outwardly professing to be a Christian. The next words, dear friends, are the mercy of God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, oh, the Lord knows his own. He knows his people. He knows their frame. He remembers their dust. He knows your frame, dear soul. He remembers you're but dust. He knows you can do nothing aright. He knows you're all sin. He knows the nature of your flesh. And nothing can be done right in his sight. Yet he loves a people. Oh, here's the security. Here's the foundation, isn't it, of anyone's hope. The love of Christ to a sinner. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Dear friends, the Lord is going to cause his own to come into the knowledge of their sin, of their ignorance, of their waywardness, of their backsliding. He will hedge up their way. He will not let them carry on in such a frame as that. Oh, what a mercy. There is the love of God through Christ Jesus. And how is he going to rebuke and chasten? The next verse tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Dear friends, that doesn't mean what the Armenians say, and as I was brought up in my early days, that the Lord Jesus knocks at the heart of all people, asking him to open up that heart to him that he may come in and bless them. Dear friends, this knocking is the knocking of his chastening. There's a voice in it. Have you ever heard that expression? When things suddenly hedge up your way, you come into troubles and difficulties. There's a voice in it. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's hand. It's the Lord's finger. If any man hear my voice. Dear friends, how are you going to hear his voice? That's the teaching of the Spirit, isn't it? Dear friends, if we're left dead in trespasses and in sins, no matter what trouble or what difficulty may come upon us, oh, we shall continue in sins. But the Lord gives this Spirit to teach that soul their sin. He will teach of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. Dear friends, there'll be opening up of that knowledge within the soul of that sinner. The hand of the Lord will be seen as, oh, that which is hard against them, like it was with Jonah, his rebellion. But the Lord wouldn't let him go because the Lord loved him. Yes, he cast him over the side of the ship, or caused him to be cast, right as it were to the brink of death. But there was the fish to swallow him up, to save him alive, and there was the restoring of his soul. When? When he prayed. When he cried for mercy from the depths of that grave. There's the opening of the door. And the mercy of the Lord. I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. There's true repentance, isn't there? A hymn. As this sick 491 we opened with spoke of repentance. Ye that die without repentance, ye must rise when Christ appears. Rise to hear your dreadful sentence. But dear friends, the Lord won't let his people die without repentance. Oh, Jonah, a repentant sinner. And he brings us humbly, doesn't it, to cry for mercy. I will look again towards his holy temple. Dear friends, the hand of the chastening of God. Oh, it's grievous. It isn't pleasant, is it? But there's mercy in it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if we know no chastening, we're bastards, we're not sons. Dear friends, do you know anything of the chastening of the Lord? Because of your sinful ways. It's an evidence. It's an evidence that you're a child of God. Because that chastening brings you humbly to cry for mercy. And in the crying of mercy, that door of his mercy is open. Yes, all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way, as the hymn writer puts it. I will come in and sup with him. What's that supping? Dear friends, isn't it a feeding on the bread of life? This is my body that is broken for you, poor sinner. This is my blood which is shed for you, great sinner. To cleanse you from all your sin. To blot out all your transgressions. Dear friends, there's the yielding of the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Where one comes into the knowledge of that righteousness of Christ. And there is one's only hope of eternal life. And dear friends, that righteousness, which through the death, the shedding of that blood on Calvary's cross, for love's sake, by the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. He who was made sin for his people, that they should be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, this precious righteousness, the work of Christ. Dear friends, that now becomes your treasure. A treasure which is all divine. A treasure which is above all the things of this earth. We love him because he first loved us. And then we glorify him, don't we, for his great work, for the redemption of our soul, the salvation of our soul, the cleansing from all sin in his sight. Oh, we're still guilty sinners in our own. Dear friends, I believe that if you know this way of the Lord's blessing upon you, this yielding forth of the precious fruit of righteousness in your soul, you then become more knowledgeable of sin. You now become more sensitive to it. And you mourn over it more than you ever did before. Dear friends, these are the evidences of a child of God. And that's where our heart will be brought. To cleave unto him through that shedding of his blood. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Dear friends, without this knowledge of the redeeming precious blood of Christ, your treasure will never be above the things of this earth, will they? It will always be here. Oh, how vital. Vital to know the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. It's to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. And dear friends, where that is known, then he is precious. Oh, Peter, he was a sinner, wasn't he? He came into the knowledge of the love, the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the knowledge first, didn't he, of his sin when he wept bitterly. And for him Christ died. And what was that test the Lord Jesus gave unto Peter? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? But it was more than that, wasn't it? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. There was the labours of the fishing. There was everything round about him upon this earth. There were the brethren. There were the other disciples. Lovest thou me more than these? Dear friends, that love of Christ is above all things upon this earth when one knows the pardon of one's sin. Redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's now, isn't he, all your glory. And dear friends, you who know this, you cannot let him go, can you? You may be often tried that you're not one of his. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, exhorts them with a very solemn exhortation. He said, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith or not. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith or not. What an exhortation for each of us here tonight. Now, that church at Corinth, in examining themselves, dear friends, would have come to many solemn conclusions. We don't read very much into Paul's epistle before he's declaring their partiality, their divisions and their strifes amongst themselves. One's of Paul, one's of Apollos, one's of Cephas, as Peter, another of Christ. There were those divisions and miscausing strife. There are divisions amongst you. That's our earthly spirit, isn't it? When divisions arise amongst the people of God and the church. You turn over to another chapter, and there they are going to the law, one with another, accusing one another to try and get the benefit of above one and another. You turn over a few more pages, and there they are accused of riotous living almost at the Lord's Supper, where they're forcing and becoming full and drunken almost with the bread and wine. We read over first and more some, and there there's those who deny the resurrection of the dead. And then there's those who question whether the Apostle Paul is a true servant of God. So we may go on. All these things concerning the church at Corinth. And yet Paul speaks of them as his work. He's beloved in the faith. How can such a church with such sin be a true children of God? Paul, writing at the beginning, says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can such a church be blameless? It was in their beginnings. The Lord had many a people in that city. The word of the Lord came to them in power, in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Dear friends, their beginning was right. They were convinced of sin. They were led to Jesus' blood. And he that hath begun a good work in them would perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this didn't excuse them of their sin. They deserved the chastening of the Lord, and I believe they received it. And that chastening was to cause them to return in true repentance, that there might be again the exercise of that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, dear friends, is that not the same with you? If you examine yourselves, whether you're in the faith or not, have you got that beginning? When the banner over you was the love, you were a guilty sinner. Oh, you were condemned through your own self. Oh, but oh, you were forced to cry for mercy. And that mercy came. The Lord set you at liberty from the bondage of sin. You still feel bound by sin, don't you? But what exercise does that now give in you? Does it not force you again and again to the throne of grace? Oh, how thankful we are that there's ever access to the throne of grace for those for whom Christ died. Not like those other priests who could not be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. But he was in all points tempted such as you are, paying the price for your sin. And there's access through him, faith in his name, faith in that precious blood, pleading it again before the footstool of mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We don't get much further than that, do we? There again to obtain mercy. Grace to help in the time of need. Dear friends, that's where your treasure is, isn't it? It's far above all the things of this earth that can do nothing for the salvation of your soul. Your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and there is all your trust. Oh, can you say this tonight concerning this text? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure is in Christ, who gave his life a sacrifice for your sin. Your treasure is in Christ, who rose again, victorious over the power of death. He delivered for your offences, raised again for your justification. Now ascended on high, leading captivity captive. All that bondage of sin, it's now destroyed, isn't it? There he reigns, to that time comes for you to partake of that place prepared for you, that place in glory. What a treasure to live with Christ, which is far better, to be with him where there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more hunger, no more thirst. A blessed peace through that amazing love of Christ for your soul. Dear friends, is this where your treasure is tonight? Watching now, waiting for his appearing, to receive that which he hath prepared to give unto you. That precious gift of eternal life in all its fullness, that shall never be taken away from you. Well, dear friends, this is the why Christ came, to redeem sinners, that they may be delivered from the wrath that is to come, and be prepared, made acceptable before God, through the work, the precious work of his own shed blood. We just sung a hymn, "Oh, for an overcoming faith to cheer my dying hours, to triumph o'er the monster death and all his frightful powers. Joyful with all the strength I have, my quivering lips should sing, 'Where is thy boasted victory grave, and where's the monster sting? If sin be pardoned, I'm secure. Death has no sting beside. The law gives sin its damning power, but Christ, my ransom, died.'" There's those lovely two lines, isn't there, in hymn 667. "In him there dwells a treasure, all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine." Dear friends, can you say that tonight? Then where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that heart, redeemed from all its iniquity, all its sin, through the precious blood of Christ. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Dear friends, I pray, prayerful desire, that each one of you here tonight may be able to say those last two lines of that third verse of the hymn 667 I've just referred to. "Matchless grace has made that treasure mine." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock at our special services on Monday next week. Let us close with hymn 1022. "There is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain." Hymn 1022.
O Lord, do bless thine own word. May we each be amongst those that seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and all other things then to be added unto us as we have need. For thou art the God that supplies all our need, according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, may we have within us the prevailing power of the love of Christ. Lord, that faith to take hold of what Christ hath done, and there to savingly believe. And hear, Lord, that voice of thine which we read in that portion this night. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, if our beginnings are right, then surely the ending shall be right. Lord, that land of pure delight of which we've sung, may we in time be gathered there as one with Jesus. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, yea, even forevermore. Amen.